Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we had a little bit of... let's see here. I was looking at something else, and... let me pull up the gold pricing here. It's something, yeah, I really wanted to ignore it anyway today. Great buying opportunity, folks. You have gold, a little bit of pressure on gold today, down $13.50 in the New York aftermarket at $11.75.40. Silver was down 15. Let me make sure these are the... down 14 at $16.58. Platinum was down 8 at $913, and palladium was up 7. At 772. The USDX today again was stronger, 0.49 at 101.46, 101.46 for the US dollar. Crude oil up huge, 3.74. That's dollars at 48.97. And of course, that was all due to they finally came to an agreement to cut production. For the OPEC members. What's really interesting is I didn't think OPEC, the Saudis, liked Iran. They're not buddies, are they, Al?
Nope.
I didn't think so. But they allowed them in this agreement to increase their productions and forcing some of the OPEC members to make additional cuts. So I found that interesting. But again, this is why we saw crude oil up as much as we did today. And the market sort of had a reversal today. We'll see if it holds. I know ADP came out with some pre-job report numbers that will be released on Friday, December 2nd. They were stronger. So the markets were a little bit stronger most of the day, but they did have a reversal. Basically, the Dow... unchanged, just up a couple points, 19,124. The NASDAQ was down 56 at 5,323, and the S&P was down 5 at 2,198. The 10-year yield is going to be climbing, as it did today, once again, 2.37%, up 0.04. I don't even know why I even bother quoting the euro anymore. It's down 0.46 at 106. Although there's a lot of interesting things coming out of Italy and as far as the impact in reference to that referendum that's going to be voted on. So we'll have to follow that and see what... You know, at one point in time, you could actually... have a conversation on if this happens, you'll see this happen. And if it goes the other direction, if the vote on something goes another direction, you're going to see this happen. But in the markets today, because there's absolutely no fundamentals behind anything, and they're so dysfunctional as they are, it's just like things just don't matter anymore. You just can't, it's difficult. Because what should happen just doesn't anymore. So, I don't know, maybe it's all kind of reverse
psychology. What you're saying is the cause and effect is not obvious. It's no longer apparent. It's
not at all.
You can't make it, all right, if A, then B. We used to be able to believe in that. Right now, if A, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I mean, everybody was predicting that if Trump was elected, there would be a reaction to the stock market to go down. Gold would go up. Well, surprise, surprise. Didn't work out that way. And that was conventional wisdom. I mean, a lot of people agreed with it. And now we find out, nope, that's not true, at least not for now.
Yeah, but we actually did see the market drop 1,000 points.
Initially. Yeah, initially.
Couldn't have that. So again, with the amount of manipulation in the world markets, you have these hedge funds and these other billions and billions of dollars that go into these various assets at any given time. They can move markets any way they want anymore. And if you're lucky, and maybe you'll do all right. I had a client today. He says, my one account, He says, I got over $200,000 in there. He says, when I was getting my statement, he says, I was really looking forward to a really nice increase with all the talk of the increase in the stock markets and everything. He says, it was up $3,000. He says, I was a little disappointed. So again, the hoopla that you hear about these stock markets, it's not true reality. You know, we're seeing all these numbers hit.
Well, the other thing is, how long can it be sustained?
And how
we're
long
getting
can it
an
be
overreaction. I don't think anyone can look at this and see what's happening without saying, since the Trump election, there has been an overreaction in the markets. There's been an overreaction downside for gold. There's been an overreaction upside for stocks. What has changed? I mean, Trump's not even in office yet, and people are reacting as if he is the Messiah. And I'm in favor of Trump. I'm not being critical of the man, but I'm saying, look, we've got troubles that, so far as I'm able to see, and I've said this before, I don't think anyone is going to be able to deal with. Trump is going to face problems that are, in my opinion, insurmountable. And what's he going to do? He's going to take the blame, apparently, when the debt hits the fan. And sooner or later, there's going to be another correction in the markets, because this does not strike me as rational, what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
No,
so I'm expecting, all right, fine, it did this now, it'll do something else later. And when it does, people who are complaining now will be, you know, screaming with joy, and people who are happy right now and goes, oh my God, the Trump phenomenon's wore off already. The man's not even in office yet. You know?
I know. It's great. This world truly is insane.
I know.
Truly is insane.
I know. It's become a kind of madness. And again, I look at it. For me, it just says, all right, fine, the world is crazy. What are you going to protect yourself? What are you going to do to protect yourself against that madness? And one of the things is you're going to have to stock up and on whatever supplies you think you're going to need to get through what might be a difficult period of time. And the supplies may be, and the supplies should include gold and silver. All right? Why? Because the whole place is going nuts. And it's as if we feed on it. The crazier it is, the more we like it. All right? We seem to feed off the insanity, the irrationality. It's exciting. It's, you know, it's the sort of thing, oh my God, I could get fantastically rich. How about you just preserve your capital you have? I know that's dull, that's not inspiring, it's not exciting, and the rest of that. But when we start pursuing the excitement of a casino lifestyle, you had better be a casino owner, because they're the only ones who come out of these things ahead. If you're playing in the casino, you say, oh, this is exciting, I need the action. I don't need the action. I don't need the action, and I think the action is dangerous, and we've had a couple of weeks of action. How far can it go? How long before we get a correction? I don't have much to say. You get into this, you look at it, and you're at a loss for words. It's like, how do you describe this stuff? It's like one of those paintings by Salvador Dali or something like that. We have timepieces that are folding, and it's just become bizarre. And so you look at it, and
in some reality, if you truly talk about fundamentals, this is why maybe we're not seeing gold rise, because you hear all the discussion, and trust me, markets love action, even though there's no action going on. Once we started with action, it's just like anything else. We see it even in the gold market. If you got action in something, it just brings interest. And I think what we're seeing in gold, because it hasn't reacted, because everyone's talking about inflation, with the idea that, you know, with all the action that Trump is going to create, that we're going to see inflation take hold. There's a lot of expectations when it comes to inflation, and that's why we're seeing the higher yields in the bonds, because, you know, investors are demanding a little bit higher yield to buy them to offset what they think will be higher inflation in the future. We don't even have that higher inflation yet, and I think that's why we haven't seen the reaction in gold. I do believe this inflation is coming, and when it gets here, and once gold attaches itself to that, I think what we're experiencing now in this market, and I agree with Al, I mean, it's complete insanity in these markets. How long can they hold? You know, we're at a fever pitch. We all know what happens when we reach that fever pitch. It's the end. It's close to the end. And I think we're experiencing the best gold prices that you'll be able to find. I don't know how low we're going to see these prices correct. I think we are experiencing a bottom here. It looks like they're trying to find a bottom here. And could they go a little bit lower? Maybe. But I think this is it. And I think next year, I haven't changed my predictions. It's going to be very volatile next year. And once you begin changing things, because the markets and the system is functioning on, and correct me if I'm wrong, Al, I think the markets and our system is functioning on what it is, on the diet that it has had.
I don't think this is a past tense thing. I think what we're looking at right now, this Trump phenomena, is not about the past. It is about optimism, unbridled optimism for the future.
And I believe it's temporary. I'm talking about the true markets. Take away this Trump run. I'm talking about the markets just maintaining. They're used to a diet of
between 18 and
bland. 19. They're used to a bland diet, and any changes, any big true changes, once they become elected, is only going to bring the volatility to the markets next year.
Well, what I think is going to happen is people are going to find out that Trump is mortal. All right, right now, what we've seen in the market is a reaction to the great white hope
change
that Trump
is
providing.
Yes, change is coming.
Change is, but I'm looking at it. I'm seeing. I don't see how you're going to. How is he going to cause much change? You know, again, we've talked about this a little on the program before, and I was talking to Melody about it before the program began. We want fiscal stimulus. The central banks are around the world are saying the governments have to provide fiscal stimulus. Central banks are saying we've done all we can with monetary stimulus, inflation and deflation and interest rates and money supply. We can't do that. It's now up to the government to use fiscal policy to stimulate the economy. And I'm looking at it. I'm saying fiscal stimulus. The only way you get fiscal stimulus is you're going to have to borrow more money to spend. They can't raise taxes and hope to stimulate the economy. They can't raise taxes to raise revenue so the government has more money to spend. They'll waste it. You can't give them more money. They'll just waste it. They'll lose sight of it. They'll lose track of it. The only thing they can do if you want fiscal stimulus is they're going to have to borrow more money. But what has Obama been doing for the past 8 years? He's run up the biggest deficit ever seen in this country. He has matched the previous 220-some years of deficit. He has doubled it in 8 years. That is fiscal spending.
That's
that is fiscal stimulus. And they're saying, oh, it's now the government has to do fiscal stimulus. They've been doing fiscal stimulus. Can Trump spend more money? Can he borrow and spend more money than Obama? Is he going to double it again in the next 8 years? Is that what's going to happen? It can't be. We are caught between the rock and the hard place. And we may be celebrating right now that Mr. Trump is in a position to extract us. Mr. Trump, he's going to get us out from the rock, from between the rock and the hard place. Well, I hope he does, but I don't see how that's possible. We have problems that are too big. They're not going to be escaped. They can be evaded for a while. We can kick can down the road, maybe a while longer. We can avoid the inevitable, but the inevitable is coming. And when it gets here, I think as soon as Trump takes office and we begin to see that some things that he had hoped to do, some things that people had expected him to do in terms of strengthening the economy, if it turns out that Trump is unable and he begins to have to admit, oh, gee, this is a problem. We can't really deal with this problem right now because the debt is too big, we can't raise revenue, we can't borrow more, we can't. If he's forced to admit that he really can't solve our most pressing problems, when that happens, all of the fine optimism that we're currently seeing in the stock market and the pessimism we're seeing in the gold market are going to reverse. All of a sudden, people are going to say, wait a second, Trump, I mean, I'm going to be astonished. And it wouldn't be the first time I've been astonished, but I'm going to be astonished if Trump can extract us from the troubles that we're facing right now. What are we going to do about the national debt? All right, I focus on that on a regular basis. And what are we going to do? You can't pay it. We don't have enough money to pay it, and we can't cancel it without wiping out $20 trillion in paper wealth. What are you going to do? You can't pay it, can't cancel it. What are we going to do? Does Trump have an answer to that? Does anyone have an answer to what we're going to do with the national debt? Because I would really like to hear it. And I don't see another option. I don't see a third option.
No one is addressing that, Alan. That's
no,
the
I know
point.
Nobody's, and
no
that's
one's
why
even
they
talking
don't address
about it.
And that's why, because there's no solution.
Listening to Steve Mnuchin this morning on CNBC was being interviewed, and it was a good interview. And I was actually feeling optimistic until I started thinking and started, you know, rationalizing and so forth. And they're going to attempt. They're going to extend the bond maturities.
What does that mean when they extend the bond?
Instead of 30 years, it's going to be 50 or 100 years. You know,
and what that means
is
they're not going to pay.
Exactly.
What can't be paid won't be paid. I've been saying it for 5 years.
If you'd let me finish, if they begin to tinker with those bonds, what do you think that's going to do to the markets?
I think it's going to be obvious to everyone that they can't pay their bills.
I think what we're hearing, and the promises is what they want to do. It's going to be a big different story when they get in there into what they will be allowed to do. And there are two different things. And, you know, they have all these plans and the stimulus, the tax cuts, you know, all this and changing the trade agreements and so forth. Well, you know what? That's all fine and dandy to say it. But when you get in there, and I guess if you can change one, I guess it's better. But once you start tinkering, and that's what I said earlier, these markets, these world markets, aren't used to anyone going in there and trying to fix things. And once they try to, even if they could, they're going to come unraveled very quickly because they don't. The
problems have been building for several decades.
Absolutely.
This isn't a problem where we can just
longer
even claim
than several decades, for a century, for almost a century.
We've been working on this system for a long time. It's an experiment. It has failed. The public hasn't understood that yet. They're not admitting it yet. But we have a problem that will not be painlessly resolved.
No.
We've got another problem. That's commercials. We're going to have to listen to a couple of them. And Melody and I will be right back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
You know, and we don't want to sound like we're criticizing. We're just trying to be realistic on what we face and the challenges that we face. And I think this is the best that we've got. I mean, when you look at, if you look even prior to the election, I mean, it's just like, is this all this country has to offer anymore?
You mean in terms of political candidates?
Yeah. What? Who would we choose? Who would we would rather see running, and so forth?
Well, all things
considered, there is
no
perfect. There is
no perfect
human being.
You know what the cause for optimism is? It's not Donald Trump per se, but it is the people who supported him.
Absolutely.
Right? There is a rising tide of populism and nationalism within this country. And if Trump can't pull this off, then perhaps someone else can. But I'm assuming that tide of people who supported Trump because they thought Trump was going to break with the establishment, whatever, that energy is still out there.
Yes.
And I'm betting that if Trump betrays that energy, Trump will rue the day. All right? I think that energy is out there, and I think if Trump turns out to be, well, he's going to bring people in from the big banks and the rest of that, he's going to reinstall the establishment. He ran against the establishment. He brings the establishment in. I think that public support is going to turn against him in a heartbeat. But we'll watch and see. I think that public sentiment, we've got to get rid of this establishment. We've got to start running this country for the benefit of the American people and not just for the rich people. I think that sentiment is out there. I think it's strong. I think it's growing. And who knows how it's going to turn out. But that power is still there, regardless of what Mr. Trump does. If Mr. Trump does a good job, then those people will be thankful. But if he does a bad job, then I don't know who's... I don't expect Trump to get a second term.
I don't expect he'll have... No, I don't believe he'll have a second term at all. I don't think he wants to have a second term. I think he plans on going in there doing what he needs to do. But no, I don't see him being a president for two terms. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Be here 4 years from now, or 3 years. We'll know in 3 years, right?
We might know in two. Maybe we know already,
right.
But we don't want to.
It's a two-year election, and right after the midterm elections, and they'll focus on the
We may know in 6 months. All right. I mean, people, one of the things about this, if Donald Trump cannot be necessarily pleased with the reaction he's seen out of the stock market, because this reaction is, again, evidence that people have great optimism in regard to Mr. Trump. Right? And hopefully that optimism will turn out to be valid.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is, Trump has some very big shoes to fill, and they are the ones that he created during the election and the ones that moved this. I mean, what happens if the market starts going down? Are people going to start complaining that Trump is already a lame duck candidate or something? I don't think this stock market surge has created a kind of pressure for Mr. Trump, and he'd better hope. I'd say that Trump should hope that we see a significant correction in the stock market before he takes office, and then he can blame it on Obama. You say, oh, well, Obama, he's the one who's responsible for it. It's standard politics to blame somebody else. Take credit for the good things that happen and blame somebody else for the bad things, and maybe neither one of you actually are responsible for the good or the bad, but we try to shift credit and blame to suit our fortunes rather than our actual conduct. But this Trump right now, what happens if the stock market continues to rise before he takes office in January. Just for the sake of argument, let's imagine for the sake of argument that the Dow Jones goes over 19,000, not just over 19,000, which is already done, but let's suppose it goes up to 20 before Trump takes office. Can he live up to that? I mean, this is going to be a tough act to follow. He's going to take office, and what happens if the market, when he takes office, then the market falls? And it's people will sit back, oh my God, Trump is in office and the market fell, the rest of that sort of thing. It'll be a correction that it really has nothing to do with Mr. Trump in reality. All right? But nevertheless, from, you know, appearance becomes reality. Some people claim that appearance is reality in this world. I don't agree with that, but I know it does seem to function that way sometimes. And the point I'm trying to, you know, I'm just groping to get this idea out in my own, to understand it myself and try to explain it, but Trump would be better off if the markets had just stayed pretty much the way they were until he got elected, and then the markets went up. No, now Trump could say, ha ha, I'm in office, and look at all the good things that are starting to happen. This good market is happening under Obama's administration. Now, I mean, Trump is going to get credit for it. I get that. But still, this is happening in Obama's administration. Can Trump maintain this after he takes office in 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is? I don't know. The whole thing, it's part and parcel of this year's election. It is so strange. It is so unprecedented. It is the sort of thing that has been exhausting and bewildering, confusing, surprising, contrary to common sense and you know, and public sentiment, and things are just happening, and you sit back, and it's just amazing.
It is. I mean, the whole world is...
Like Melody was saying, it used to be you could say, if A, then B. We had cause, we had effect. Now we just have effects. I don't even know where the causes are.
Action, reaction. There's no reactions anymore.
Well, there's something. I don't know. What do we see? Are we looking at an action?
Sometimes there's no reaction. So not only do we get an effect, we don't get the reaction. But, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think that people will view Trump if, because wasn't it Clinton who says it's all about the economy? So if he can't go in there and spend any more money, he can't get enough private business to do the infrastructure as investments and so forth as part of what he wants to do. And the economy fails, the stock markets. Now, everybody views the stock markets as the guide to our economy. If the Dow is up, everyone's happy. If that crashes, but the wall is built and the VA gets fixed, are they even going to matter to the point? Because the economy crashed, the stock market crashed, the debt problems, if they affect what we believe is going to happen, will those even get done? Or if they did get done, would his following, would be the people?
The answer is both, Melody. How do you like that?
No, you can't. That's my
yes,
answer.
Yeah.
No,
both.
That's
I give
not
you
fair.
Both.
Well, at least you learned
not
something.
Not fair. I put up
how
with that.
Years?
I've had both for how long has it been, Melody? And I finally get one opportunity, and I get criticized for being unfair. There's going to be a balance on all of this. I mean, Trump is going to be, will remain a hero to some people for several years for sure. Yeah. All right? There will be other people that are going to be skeptical early on, and they are and critical, and they may turn on Trump. They supported him to begin with, and may turn on Trump quickly. You know, that's just real life. That would have happened if Hillary had been elected or anyone else had been elected. Some of your supporters stick with you. Some of them turn their back on you because you're not as pure as they had hoped you would be. But the question is, what are the majority going to do? Will the majority stay with Trump if the market goes down, or will the majority abandon Trump if the market goes down? Regardless, will it be enough that he builds a wall between the United States and Mexico? I mean, if he does that, a lot of people are going to say, all right, he's doing that much. He's doing something. And that will shore up a lot of support for Mr. Trump. But this market thing, I don't think he's not really responsible for what's happening in the market. He didn't make that happen. All right? It may be that people are manipulating the market. It may be that public sentiment is driving the market higher. Not manipulation per se, but public sentiment. But Trump himself did not make the market go higher. And he can't keep it high. And he can't prevent it from going low. He's not the cause for the effect we're looking at. He gets credit for it. But I'm wondering, you know, as I said earlier, does he want that credit at this time? Because sooner or later, people are going to say, wait a second, isn't this a little bit of an overreaction? Isn't this a little bit unfounded? And if so, you know, do we need a correction right now, another correction? What are we going to do? And how's Trump going to explain that? I don't know. And again, do I have an answer for your question, Melody, other than both? No, I don't. And partly because I don't think anyone does. I don't know that anyone can have an answer to the question. We are at a point where you just kind of sit there and hang on. It's like riding a roller coaster, you know? And every so often you go over one of the peaks and you go down and throw your arms up in the air and you, yay! Whee! Sometimes that's all you can do. Just try to enjoy the ride as much as possible. But it's another one of these consequences of computerized trading, for example, in the markets. Markets can move so extraordinarily, so rapidly, so suddenly, precipitously, right? Because most of the trading is being done by computers and algorithms. Not by individuals that sit down and say, well, I don't know. I think I'll buy another 100 shares of IBM. I'm going to sell my stock in whatever, the widget company. And I think, no, it's happening. Bang, 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 bang. And you can't even keep up with it. And it's part of the reason why it becomes confusing and you can't clearly understand or even imagine you understand what's happening. Things are happening, and they say it's because of Trump. It's because we've watched this where people come up and they try to explain why the price of gold went up, down, or sideways, and they say it's because they've got a new agreement in Syria. I don't think that's true. I think most people would agree with me that there are a lot of explanations that are offered every day for what's going on in the market. And they're just theories. And I do plenty of theories myself. I mean, I can't just, but it used to be there was a kind of reasonable consensus to say, yes, this happened and therefore the market moved. Now the market moves and we don't know exactly why, and then people come up with possible explanations as to why it moved. Instead of having a cause and an effect, we have an effect. And then we try to think of what possibly could have caused that. It does not inspire confidence. Right? We don't know what's really going on. And that's a problem. And although we can get carried away with unbridled optimism and we can hope that things work out well, still, you kind of look at this and you sit back and say, maybe not. Maybe people are going to wake up, and when they do, the market is going to drop down back into the 18,000 range of the Dow Jones. And the price of gold is going to rise back up to the 1,300 range. Maybe. We'll watch and see. If and when it happens, will anyone know why it happened? There'll be theories. There'll be hundreds of theories, maybe. But will anyone know why it happened?
Well, before we go into break, we only have a couple more minutes. But for the Treasury Secretary, the nominee is Steven Mnuchin. He was a partner at Goldman Sachs for 17 years. His father was a partner with Goldman Sachs for 30 years. Not to say that that's a bad thing, but I believe it was 30 years for his father. So he does come from a lot of wealth. He's estimated to be worth about $40 million. And again, when you talk about $10 billion. But he also worked for the Soros Fund Management. He was also invested in partnership with Soros, with the hedge fund manager John Paulson and others. They bought the failed housing lender, IndyMac. There's a little controversy based on that. Millions were made. But what I find interesting, and this was reported by Bloomberg, but we certainly know that Bloomberg is not a fan, I should say, of Trump, and I'm sure of these people. But if I remember correctly, I'm trying to find it here while I'm talking. Mnuchin received stock in CIT Group. That's who IndyBank was sold to after they bought it. They changed the name to One West. He received stock, and it's possible that he could sell it tax-free if he were confirmed to be Treasury Secretary. But he would, if he reinvested the proceeds in Treasuries or government-approved funds. That's according to Bloomberg. So, and again, you know, Bloomberg does a lot of bad reporting and so forth. And Michael Bloomberg, I'm sure he doesn't like these people. So I think that is interesting, though, if he can possibly sell $97 million in CIT stock and not have to, and it would be tax-free. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I don't have any complaint with people who don't pay taxes in the sense that if they're doing it within the law, fine. If that's what the law says, they take advantage of it, I don't have an objection to that. I mean, the objection, if there's something stupid about him being able to do this, the problem is not necessarily with him, it's with the congressmen and the senators who voted to enact the law in the first place and leave it on the books besides.
You know, I get that, but my point is, you have, you know, is his position... I mean, $97 million is a lot of money. Is his position one of the benefits that he gets? And was that one of the reasons why he might have been appointed?
Because, you know, he's got this $97 million deal.
It's just, you're missing my point. If you're missing it, then maybe the listeners are too. But, well, probably not. But, no, my point is, you know, you have this cronyism. They've worked together for years. It's a select group. They all work together, and it's the same way with Wilbur Ross. I thought when I first heard Wilbur Ross, I thought, yeah, this guy's a globalist. You know, he knows how to, you know, deal with trade agreements and everything. I was pleased. But then you start reading about some of his leveraged buyouts that he's done in the past and so forth, and, you know, how he has helped Trump through his problems through the Atlantic City and his casinos and so forth. And, you know, in his, you know, Rothschild's connections and so forth, it just puts a question there.
Well, we're going to have to save that question for a couple of minutes until we return after some more commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we are lamenting our fate. What did I do to deserve this?
And I'll tell you, if anyone thinks that we're not, you know, I'm very optimistic on the changes that we're going to see. We're going to have changes. And that's better than having status quo forever and ever and ever. So anytime you have change,
necessarily. I'm not optimistic about this. I mean, I recognize that I want
to. I'm not saying whether it's going to be all good or all bad. You're going to get both. And, you know, as far as the markets and the economy, no, I don't think we're going to see the markets. Yeah, I believe we're going to see inflation creep in. I think we have debt too much to be paid. That's can't be changed. And we're going to face that reality, regardless of who's in the White House. But yet, there's other things that you can be optimistic about, too.
Yeah, like what? Does this mean I'm going to finally get that pony for Christmas, Melody? You can tell me. Don't save it for... Tell me now, Melody. Do I get the pony this Christmas? I've been waiting on that pony for a long time, Melody.
Have
is
you?
Now time? Yes, I am.
Is he going to be rainbow-colored?
I don't know. I'm not too particular about the color of the ponies, you know. I may even be a little
fly?
Too big to ride the pony.
Is he going to fly?
But just the same, is it time to be optimistic about the pony?
Glitter? With glitter and
I don't.
Hey, let's talk about the Bank of England.
All right, here's something. Here's a headline, a story from Yahoo Finance in United Kingdom, England. And this just cracks me up. This gets filed under the What Fools These Mortals Be category. All right, here's the headline. Angry vegetarians hit out as Bank of England confirms new plastic 5-pound note contains animal fat. Huh? The Bank of England has revealed that the new plastic 5-pound note is not suitable for vegetarians as it contains an animal product. Responding to a number of tweets, the bank conceded that the polymer note contains tallow, a product made from animal fat that is often used in candles and soap. A petition has now been launched calling for such animal products to be banned from the production process, and it has gathered almost 20,000 signatures. The online petition, which has been signed by 19,926 people, reads, quote, "The new 5-pound note contains animal fat in the form of tallow. This is unacceptable to millions of vegans and vegetarians in the UK. We demand that you cease to use animal products in the production of currency that we will have to use." Irene Cramondance, she's one of the people that they quoted, "There are millions of vegetarians and vegans whose feelings have been totally disregarded. They have no choice but to handle these notes against their beliefs. It's shocking! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. 4 exclamation points in this comment." All right, and again, what cracks me up about this? The vegans are going wild, the vegetarians are going wild, apparently, because there are trace amounts of tallow, animal fat, being used to make these new plastic 5-pound notes. That's cause for concern. They're not concerned that the notes are not backed by gold. They're not concerned that these notes are not backed by silver. No, they are up in arms because there are trace amounts of animal fat used to produce these notes. And I look at this, and again, my comment is what fools these mortals be. We're going to quibble over whether there's a little animal fat, all right, a trace amount of animal fat used to produce these notes. But we don't even bother talking about, hey, how about we have some notes that are backed by gold and silver? Because the trouble that's coming our way is because we don't have notes backed by gold or silver. and we haven't had them since 1971 on the international level and since 1968 on the domestic level here in the United States. So I don't know. People, the angry vegetarians are coming after us, Melody. They're going to start setting off bombs or something because there's tallow in the five-pound notes in England.
Well, I really don't have anything to say. I mean, I'm at a loss of words.
It's just silly. It's just silliness. It's just silliness, Melody. I mean, oh, my God. You know, good God. People... You know, it sounds like we are losing our marbles to some degree when we talk about how unstable, how irrational the markets have become. And then you see an article like this that the angry vegetarians hit out as Bank of England confirms new plastic five-pound note contains animal fat. It's like this is Saturday Night Live. We are caught in a massive multi-decade episode of Saturday Night Live or Monty Python's Flying Circus. All right, that's where we are. It's no longer a situation comedy. Let's go watch I Love Lucy. It's a situation comedy. It's fun. No, we are caught in a situation comedy. And I'm not sure it's going to be all that comedic, but it's evidence that it is irrational. It is irrational. People are rattled about there's trace amounts of tallow in a five-pound note. They don't care whether there's any gold or silver backing it up. That's not a cause for concern. Tallow is a cause for concern. This is the sort of thing that makes you roll your eyes. You understand? Makes you wonder. Is this a real story? Came from Yahoo Finance. Is it a real story, or is this just something that...
You know, I saw.
Are they just writing the stuff to drive me nuts, Melody? Is that what they're doing?
You know, I saw a comedian and he was talking about political correctness, and you know, he said he was talking about offending people, and this kind of reminds me of his act. It's like, so what? So what if we offend you? You know, grow up. Move on. And it reminds me when I lived. And it reminds me
if you don't want to.
And it reminds me when I lived in Missouri. There was a little town called Republic, and they have a little fish emblem on their city stationery. It was in the middle of the Ozarks, for goodness sakes. You do lots of fishing. That was one of their tourist attractions, was fishing. They had a little fish on the stationery. It offended one person, and they had a. And it kind of reminds me of the same thing. We have allowed one person to be offended, to go and to have these feelings against things, and it's just insanity again.
I know.
It's crazy.
And again, it's evidence that we have not lost our minds. The world really is irrational, and we are trying to cope with that irrationality.
What else is crazy, Al?
We got this business about OPEC. Price of oil has gone up $3 today or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Big jump. All right. Here's an article that was published earlier today. It's OPEC keeps financial markets guessing on output cuts. This is before they reached their agreement.
They're going to reduce production by 1.2 million barrels a day.
Yeah, they say that. They say that. But are they really? And what difference will it make? What difference will it make? You know, OPEC is only about a third. They only represent about a third of the oil market on the globe right now. It may be that they were powerful influence back in the 1970s. All right, okay, OPEC. Yeah, they threw a lot of weight. Right now, they're about a third. OPEC is going to agree that they're cutting production by a million barrels a day. All right, what is going to keep the other 70% who are not part of OPEC from just saying, yippee, they're not selling a million barrels a day? We can sell a million barrels a day. I don't see that this is going to have that much effect. If I would not trust the members of OPEC, I don't regard them as being paragons of virtue whose word is their bond and so on. I see them as...
Well, what you know, they do, they pretty much control the price of oil. Whether they do or what
they do the same
they,
extent,
well, whether they do or whether
the
they don't.
They have in the past.
And you still have to remember the connection with the U.S. But even if they do, I mean, it should give a little bit of a boost to the U.S., to the drillers here that has been...
The fracking industry is going to say we'll be able,
so,
we'll have
know,
a chance
should.
To take advantage of this. Mm-hmm. And there'll be people in other parts of the world. But I'm not sure
I'm
that
not
OPEC can
OPEC.
Count on OPEC to cut this. Oh, yeah, we're going to cut a million barrels. Listen, we're going to talk to some country, and they're going to agree to cut by 200,000 barrels a day. They signed their name on it. Who's going to enforce this agreement? I don't have the impression that the oil-producing nations, again, are paragons of virtue whose word is their bond, and you can sure trust them. If they said they're, if Iraq said, well, we're cutting by 200 barrels a day or 200,000 barrels a day or whatever, will they really? How do we know? How do we enforce? I think this whole thing is... it's bumping heads with a fundamental reality, and that is a couple of realities. One, the global economy is in a state of recession and or depression. And as a result, the demand for crude oil has fallen significantly. At the same time, we have a more than adequate supply. It's supply and demand. As crazy as the world is, and as much as OPEC would like to deny that reality of supply and demand, I don't think they're going to be able to. We have more oil, and people who are desperate to sell oil. You take Venezuela, for example. You think they're not desperate to sell oil? They have to get some money to keep their people from exploding into a political revolution. They're not going to be bound by agreements where they get a chance to sell an extra 50,000 barrels a day. They're going to sell it. All right, and there are other countries in OPEC and others that are oil-producing nations that are not part of OPEC. They're also in great financial stress. And if they have an opportunity to sell more oil, they don't care. They don't care that, oh, there was an agreement. They don't care about the agreement. They're going to sell the oil. They've got to do it. And as long as the global economy remains in a state of recession and or depression, and the central banks are unable to effectively stimulate the national and global economies.
Yeah, but Al, if Venezuela...
And the demand for crude is diminished, and the price is going to stay down.
If Venezuela, even Libya, they've been hurting for years, 2 years minimum.
Hmm.
If they so desired, they could easily undercut and sell more oil to help their countries. That isn't happening. They could have already been doing it. It isn't happening.
Well, I would argue. It hasn't happened in part because the demand is down. But if OPEC is going to say we're not going to sell a million barrels a day that we would otherwise have sold, I'm going to guess that the other 70% of the market is going to say, "See, that is an opportunity." They're just going to say, "Yay, we can sell an extra million barrels."
Yeah, but you said that they're reducing production because there isn't the demand, so they can't sell it anyway if there's not a demand.
No, but
so they can't. So I mean, they still have to. I mean, they're you know, certain countries. I'm not saying all of them, but in the OPEC members, they are following course.
I don't think
they'll go behind OPEC's back and sell oil that they're not supposed to.
You mean you don't think the OPEC members will go behind OPEC's back?
No.
Well, that I wouldn't bet that's true. But maybe it is. But even if it is, what's that got to do with the other 70% that are not in OPEC?
Why wait for 2 years when you have inflation raging at 1,500% and your people are killing animals in the street to eat? I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of these governments are nasty, but, you know, so in reality, they could have cut the price.
I don't know which governments you're talking about.
It sounds like you're talking about
Venezuela. Yeah, I understand. Who knows what's, you know,
So it's
the world has become an irrational place. That's my fundamental argument. And I don't think, beyond that, I don't see reason to trust the agreement. Price of oil may have jumped $3 a barrel today, but I don't expect that to hold. I don't think that's going to hold for long. So we'll watch and see. It'll be something to find out about, and we will learn more about our world depending on what happens to the price of crude oil. We'll learn whether or not does reason actually still apply, or is the whole place kind of crazy? Then we'll find out more, Melody. And then it'll give us an excuse. Then we can sit back and say, see? See?
Told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 1-800-375-4188. We got some great specials. The prices at these level, folks. Silver Eagles, we have 1 ounce silver rounds, the Buffalo type. We're still running the special, the $1,700 special. I'll go into a little more detail tomorrow on that special. Give us a call. It's a great package with the almost uncirculated gold dollar along with the $20 gold piece, a silver eagle, a piece, a brilliant uncirculated piece dollar, a beautiful package, $1,700. Includes all your shipping costs, insurance. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. Be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, V, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.